Luther there, rather, is probably accommodating himself to the biblical language that the world is the devil's workshop. This is his kingdom. This is where he rules. He is the prince of this world.
So the word dominion is more like his arena.
You're in his territory. And as long as you're in this world, you're in his territory. And even if you're a Christian, you're in his territory as long as you're in this world. And the fact that you're a Christian gives you no immunity. In fact, he makes you twice the target of his venom in order to bring you into ruin. Every Christian experiences this, that it is they that have to often bear the sharpest and the hottest darts that Satan's got. With which to inflict man. But now, really, the important thing about what our confessions talk about or say concerning original sin is its essential nature. Now, sometimes we get the impression that sin is just an isolated series of no-nos which we perform. Now, of course, sin is that. The Bible teaches, and we all know this, that sin is the transgression of the law. That whenever we break a commandment of God or do something contrary to the will of God as it is expressed in the Decalogue, then we've sinned. We have missed the mark. But that is not all that you say about sin. You haven't said everything about that there is to say about sin when you say that sin is a violation of the law. Sin is attempted deicide. Sin is a calculated attempt to kill God and make yourself God. That's why the penalty for sin is so grievous. It's death. Nothing less than death. Let's just try to reconstruct what went on in the Garden of Eden. Now, I happen to believe that the account of the fall of man in the Garden of Eden is a straightforward account of what took place. I do not regard that as some kind of symbolic history. Now, I'm aware of the fact that there are anthropomorphisms in the fall account in Genesis 1 to 3, such as, for instance, God walked in the garden. And because God doesn't have feet. So taking into consideration that there are figures of speech and some symbolic language in the fall account, like there is in almost every page of the Holy Scriptures, I still believe that that was a real garden with real trees in which two real people were originally put, who were the real first parents of the human race, and who by their rebellion and disobedience precipitated their progeny into ruin forever if it had not been for the grace of God that redeemed us in Christ. Now that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, that's a tree, that's a trunk. Very good tree. But if your imagination is good enough, that's the truth. Here were two human beings now, created by God and put in the garden, filled with everything that God himself could think of in order to delight these two people and give them happiness and joy. Then Satan came along. And induced them to rebel against God and disobey him. Now, how did he go about it? He didn't say, when he approached Eve, he didn't say, you know, God of yours is right off the bat, you know, he's going to say this God of yours is an unreasonable tyrant, sadistic, indescribably ugly being with no other purpose in mind than to make your life miserable and all that sort of stuff. First question he asked was,
surely God didn't say that you can't eat of that tree. That, why that tree?
There are hundreds and hundreds of other trees around. What makes that tree different from the others?
But he remembered what the Lord had said and wasn't deceived. That the Lord had said, do not eat of that tree. So Satan finally conceded, all right, the Lord said, don't eat of that tree, but you got to be kidding.
You mean to tell me, are you really taking him seriously?
When he said, if you eat of it, you'll die.
And Eve still knew God well enough to say yes. That's the kind of a God God is. He says, don't you do, you die. That's the kind of a God God is. So Satan said, all right. He said you shouldn't, and he also threatened that you die if you do. But I'll tell you now, really, what the whole thing is about.
That tree is a symbol of your subjection.
That tree is a symbol of the fact that you're under God's thumb. All these other trees in the garden you can eat. Nobody disturbs you. Nobody questions your right. But that one tree, you can't touch it. And it's not a bit different from any other tree. The only function that tree serves is it reminds you that you are a human being and God is God. And that God calls the shots and you don't. That he determines what's good and evil, not you. The only thing or anything is evil is because God says don't do it. There's nothing wrong with eating fruit. Not unless God says don't do it. Supposing God had said to Adam and Eve, look, you can do anything you like in this garden but have carnal relationships with an alligator. Then they might have got the impression that the nature of the sin lay in the heinousness of the act. The unnaturalness of that. And not in the fact that it's a disobedience of God's command, but because they were doing something so horrendous. So God said, don't eat fruit. Nothing wrong with eating fruit. I eat fruit every day. The only thing wrong with eating fruit then was God said, don't eat that fruit. That's the only thing that makes anything wrong. God was calling the shots. That's why it's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Who's going to determine what's good and evil? God or man? Eve couldn't see any other tree in our whole garden but that one. Once Satan got to her, that's the only tree she could see. All the other marvelous trees and the blessings that God had bestowed, she wasn't even aware of them. But that one bugged her. She had it. Because nobody was going to call the shots for her. She ate. In that moment, she was telling God, you ain't God no more. I just fired you. You don't call the shots. I call the shots. I determine what's good and evil. You don't determine what's good and evil. And that's been man's problem ever since. And if you want to, we'll talk tomorrow about this, but the next time you have a fight with your wife about something, you ask yourself after it's all done, you go in a corner and think about it, and you ask yourself, who was trying to be king of the manure pile again?